Well, good morning, everybody. Happy New Year to you. Before we think about 2017, I just wondered if, did anyone see a review of 2016 or watch, read it in the papers or watch it on TV? I watched one on the BBC called The Year That Changed the World, which sounds slightly dramatic, but whatever your assessment was of 2016, you will probably agree that it was a year that things that nobody thought would happen at the beginning of the year ended up happening. And that was right across the board, wasn't it? From things that are maybe relatively insignificant. So I say relatively in case there are any Leicester City fans here today. But it was the year that Leicester City won the Premier League, 500-1 outsiders. People didn't see that coming. It was the year that the Great British Bake Off moved to Channel 4 with the sad loss of Mary Berry from that programme. I didn't see that coming either. And it was also the year that a Scotsman became the best in the world at something. That was tennis, Andy Murray. We didn't think he could do it, but he did it by the end of the year. But, you know, perhaps more significantly, it was the year, wasn't it, of the political earthquake, both in this country and the United States. And it was the year that we decided that we didn't really like experts that much, and the experts got it wrong anyway. So in these times where we're not really sure what to hold on to anymore, and things seem to be changing pretty quickly, I think it's really good to come back to the words and teaching of Jesus Christ. Because I am so glad I'm a Christian and I'm a follower of Jesus, because the words of Jesus, as well as, of course, his life and death and resurrection, give us many things. But one thing they give us is a rock which we can stand on in the midst of these changing times. But more than that, they give us, well, I think they're like an earthquake as well, which should shake our lives and shake this world, which will put the earthquakes of 2016 to be little more than a footnote in the history books. So that's why it's really good. In St. Mary's, we're going to start a series, I think from now up until Easter, think about what Jesus taught about the kingdom of God. And that is a great way to start 2017. So in the passage we just had read today, the gospel passage, you probably recognise that as from Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount, and that is towards the beginning of Matthew's gospel. It's the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and he's begun to preach that the kingdom of God is at hand, and to heal the sick, and to start casting out demons. But then he kind of withdraws a bit from the crowds, and he goes up on a mountain with his disciples, those people who are following him, and he opens his mouth and he starts giving this amazing teaching, the like of which the world has never ever heard before. And so in the passage we had today, I want to say that there is some good news, which is very, very good news, and there's also a challenge, but a very, very big challenge. So let's start with the good news. The good news, as we heard read, is that God loves us. He cares for us. He provides for us. He knows what we need, and he provides it. Even though he made the whole creation, he values us as his children more highly than anything else. Now, that doesn't mean that things will always be easy, but it does mean that our Father God is a loving Heavenly Father who cares for us and knows our needs. And that is a good thing to remember, isn't it, at the start of this year. I don't know what your year is looking like, but as a family, we face a few uncertainties this year. We don't know exactly what's going to happen or exactly what we'll be doing later on in the year, or even if we can stay in the house we're currently living in. And we have this kind of tendency to worry that maybe God's going to forget about us, or kind of leave us hanging, or leave us with kind of nothing to do or nowhere to go or something like that. But that's not the God that Jesus describes. That's not the Father that Jesus knows. So let's remember that as we go into this year. But if that is the good news, then here comes the challenge. Because if you believe in that Heavenly Father who Jesus is describing, then you have a decision to make. And that's because there are two radically different patterns of life being outlined here by Jesus. Because if God has provided for us, he's made us, he meets our needs, and he's meeting our needs, and not only that, but this same Jesus who is speaking to us and teaching here is within a few years about to go to die on a cross for us to forgive us of our sins. If we think about it like that, it's a bit like saying God has put us first. Jesus has put us first, not least by dying on the cross for us. So if God's put us first, are we going to put him first? And what would that look like? And that is a question worth dwelling on for a while. It's a bit harder to answer than you might first think. So when Jesus says about not to worry about eating what we're going to eat or what we're going to drink or what we're going to put on for clothes, you might think, well, at that time Jesus was teaching primarily to poor people in an undeveloped country many years ago, and many of those people probably did face a kind of a daily worry about what to eat or what to drink and so on. But now we've got a bit beyond that, haven't we, really, because we live in a rich country. I mean, we do know from Loughton Food Bank that sadly many people do sometimes go without food, but generally speaking, we're doing all right, aren't we? And we have enough, so we don't have to worry about that kind of thing quite so much anymore. But I think actually Jesus is talking about something a little bit deeper than that. And he's getting at something deeper. And just by way of example, I must say that I'm quite a fan of Westfield Shopping Centre in Stratford. I don't know if anyone's been there. It's an amazing place. My favourite time, though, is if you get there before 10, before the shops are open, that's the best time. Just the coffee shops are open at that time. But it's an amazing place. But I would say that when you go there, myself and my family included, the primary thought on our minds is, what am I going to eat? Or what am I going to wear in terms of what I'm going to buy from the shops? And there are, in fact, over 250 shops. I counted on the guide yesterday, and almost 100 restaurants there. So that is an incredible array of choice and things to worry about in that sense. If you go to the International Food Court, you can literally spend half an hour walking around just deciding what to eat. And in that situation, my usual strategy is just to retreat to the John Lewis Cafe for a cup of tea. But the point is that, of course, Jesus is right, that our natural instinct and focus tends to be on material things, doesn't it? And that's not necessarily wrong, because obviously we need those things, as Jesus says. But is it our only focus, or is it our primary focus? Because the thing is, if we have chosen intentionally or unintentionally to focus on material things as our main thing, then the thing we end up is with anxiety. And anxiety, as well as being unpleasant, is counterproductive usually, isn't it? It's more likely to take years of our life or diminish our stature than add a day to our life. But the difference is this, that if we've chosen to trust and serve God, and that we are commanded not to worry, but to trust that what we need will be given to us. So whoever said that the Sermon on the Mount is great ethical teaching is wrong, isn't they? This stuff is crazy, unless God is really real. We need to trust in God, first of all, and allow other things to follow. So Jesus' main point kind of reaches its central point in verse 31 to 33. Let me just read that again. He says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans, or the Gentiles, or people who don't know God, run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Let me read that again. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So I guess that's the distinction, is it, in its clearest terms, that the normal pattern of life in the natural is to worry about and be ambitious and to seek after our own comfort and material things and our own progress and so on. But followers of Jesus are called to live primarily for the kingdom of God and receive God's loving care as a result. So in some ways, the difficult question we need to ask ourselves is, you know, are our primary motivations and ambitions for ourselves and our own comfort and well-being, or is it for the kingdom of God, by which we mean the coming reign and rule of God in the world, and which we experience now when we know righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because as followers of Jesus, we're called to seek after the day when the kingdom of the world, this is from Revelation, we're looking forward to the day when the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. And we're looking for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So it's interesting, I think, that the kingdom of God and righteousness often come together. They're often put together in the Bible. And maybe that's to emphasize that what we're seeking is God's complete rule over our lives, our personal lives, and the world around us, so that we know righteousness, peace, and joy in the Spirit. We see healing and justice and the presence of God with his people in the world, and an end to mourning and pain. And that we're talking about kind of a total salvation and transformation for this world, as well as ourselves. So how do we work this out in our own lives? Because this should raise, if we're taking Jesus seriously, quite a few searching questions, I think. I mean, as I've been preparing this, I've been sort of trying to analyse and evaluate my own life and think about my own sort of deepest motivations. Because I can see in my own life, I can see some concrete steps towards seeking the kingdom of God. But also, I guess, some sort of mixed motivations about sort of self, you know, maybe self-preservation or progress, or wanting a sort of a decent family income and all those kinds of things. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's a question about priorities, isn't it? You know, am I ambitious primarily for the kingdom of God or for myself? And I think it is complicated, isn't it? Because Jesus is not calling us to go and, you know, sort of live on a mountainside somewhere on our own, as attractive as that may be sometimes, but he's not calling us to do that and, you know, expect our breakfast to descend from heaven every morning. Because we know from elsewhere in the Bible that it is good to work, to earn a living, to be responsible, you know, to give and sometimes receive charity. So in other words, God's provision for us will normally be through kind of the normal processes of life. So it's up to each of us, I guess, in the kind of complexities and balances of our life to, you know, work out how to put the kingdom of God first and what that means. But just to finish, here is one suggestion for how to move forward with this, especially if this seems like a difficult teaching, because obviously it is. And so at the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus starts with the Beatitudes, which I'm sure you've heard before. And the first of those is this, that Jesus says, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Okay, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I think it's no mistake that this is how Jesus starts. This is how Jesus starts, because that is the right way to start, isn't it, with approaching God. Because we need to know that we can't do this on our own strength. You know, we're not meant to do this on our own. We need to know that we need God. I think that's what it means to be poor in spirit. You know, we need Jesus and we need God. So if you feel that you don't have much in you, you feel that this is seeking the kingdom of God is not something you can do on your own, or you don't have the strength to do that or the strength to keep going, then you're in exactly the right place. Because the key, in a sense, is to start with being empty in yourself so that you can be filled when you come to God. And that's exactly what it says as Jesus goes on. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. So as we start empty and come to God in that way, we can be filled by him. So as we start this year, maybe that is the best thing we can do, to come to Jesus empty, kind of at the end of ourselves and at the end of our own strength, and ask him to fill us with his righteousness and with a burning passion for his kingdom coming on earth. And then maybe we could ask him to give us some concrete steps to take this forward throughout this year. I mean, maybe you could be seeking opportunities to be sharing the gospel, or, you know, praying for healing, praying for the kingdom to come in your family or your workplace, or making time for God's presence in your life and making that the thing you kind of structure your life around. And maybe I just wondered if there's anybody here. Maybe you've never come to Jesus in this way. Maybe you know that you have been living essentially for yourself and not for the kingdom of God. Well, why not come to Jesus now and ask him to forgive you and trust in his cross and ask him to change you, because he is ready and waiting for you. So for 2017, seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, are you in? Are you in? Are you with Jesus? Are you feeling poor in your own strength and weak in your own ambition for yourself? Well, then you're in the right place. The kingdom of God belongs to you, and be filled with God's righteousness. So may you have a blessed 2017, and may we have a great year as we live to see the kingdom of God come with greater power in our lives and our church and our community.